Al-Bayan Radio presents The Life of Prophet Muhammad, Peace Be Upon Him, presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our Seerah classes on the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Today we have reached our ninth class, our ninth lesson, and our topics will be the boycott or the social ban, the death of Abu Talib and Khadija radiallahu anha, and also the Prophet's trip to Al-Ta'if sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My dear brothers and sisters, after the Quraysh saw a group of Muslims migrate to Abyssinia and live there in safety and security, as we discussed in our last lesson, and also after the Islam of Umar and Hamza radiallahu anhumah, and also Islam was spreading amongst the tribes, the Quraysh gathered and decided to take drastic actions, and that was to boycott the Muslims and also the tribes of Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Muslims and non-Muslims from them. And this boycott or social ban, known in Arabic as al-muqata'a or al-hisar, a siege or a blockade or embargo, it happened, as many of the ulama have said, in the 7th year after prophethood, and it lasted a few years up until the 10th year after prophethood. So this boycott meant that the Quraysh would not marry from the Muslims and would not buy or sell with them either. So in other words, my dear brothers and sisters, the Muslims and the members of Banu Hashim and Banu Abd al-Muttalib were to be treated as outcasts. The other clans from the Quraysh would not marry their daughters or engage in business transactions with them or even keep company with them. Nor would they accept any peace offers from these two clans until they handed over the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, the boycott proved devastating. The Muslims, as well as the members of Banu Hashim and Banu Abd al-Muttalib, and as we said, the Muslims and non-Muslims from them, with the exception of Abu Lahab, they were all forced to withdraw from Mecca and live in the Sha'ab of Abi Talib, or in the narrow valley or mountain pass of Abu Talib. And every night, my dear brothers and sisters, the children would go to sleep hungry, and they would cry until they fell asleep, and their cries could be heard from a far distance. Now, occasionally, as some reports indicate, secret supplies would be sent, for example, by the nephew of Khadija radiallahu anha. And as we said, this ban, this social boycott, lasted for nearly 3 years, from the 7th year after prophethood until the 10th, until 5 nobles from different tribes of Quraysh took the initiative to terminate this boycott or terminate this ban, which they were successful in doing so. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, despite the grim circumstances the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced during this social boycott, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ceased inviting non-Muslims to Islam, and he was particularly active during the season of Hajj. It was at this time that he would speak to the tribes that had traveled to Mecca from all over Arabia. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, a few months after the boycott ended, Abu Talib fell ill. And it's mentioned that he was over 80 years old, and the Quraysh did not expect him to recover. Now, this may have appeared to be good news for the Meccan pagans, but the Quraysh felt that it made the situation even more complicated. How would it look to the other tribes in the peninsula, they asked themselves, if we punished Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his uncle died? And they said it would be more wise if they approached Abu Talib with a proposal, and that was, ask your nephew to keep silent about our gods and we'll hold our peace about his religion. Now, Abu Talib, knowing that he would not live much longer, was certainly interested in finding some way to ensure his nephew's safety after his death. He heard the proposal from the Quraysh and called his beloved nephew to his bedside. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened and then turned to Abu Talib, saying, uncle, I ask them only one thing, and if they accept this thing, the whole of Arabia will be under their control, and the non-Arabs will pay them tribute. Now the Quraysh asked, only one thing? We are prepared to accept 10 such things. What is it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, La ilaha illallah. That is to accept that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. The Quraysh then, marveling at this statement, said, what? He has fashioned only one God out of all of them? Meaning out of all our gods? This is very strange. My dear brothers and sisters, Abu Talib's illness worsened, and as he was lying on his deathbed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would visit him and would call him and urge him to say La ilaha illallah. My uncle, he would say, say La ilaha illallah, and if you say it, I'll plead with Allah for your salvation. However, also there at his bedside were Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, who were telling Abu Talib, will you shun the religion of Abd al-Muttalib? And they continued talking to Abu Talib, who was dying, until his last words were, Ala millati Abd al-Muttalib, upon the religion of Abd al-Muttalib. Still, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam refused to give up on his uncle. He said, I will ask Allah to forgive you until I am forbidden to do so. Soon afterwards, my dear brothers and sisters, the following ayat were revealed, prohibiting the seeking of forgiveness for the disbeliever after they have passed away. Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 113,
مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ.
It is not fitting for the Prophet and the believers that they should pray for forgiveness for pagans, even if they are near relatives, after it is clear to them that they are the companions of the fire. Another ayah was also revealed, showing that true guidance is in the hands of Allah and Allah alone. Allah says in Surah Al-Qasas, ayah 56,
إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ.
Verily you, O Muhammad, do not guide whom you like, but it is Allah who guides whom He wishes, and Allah knows those who are guided. So Abu Talib passed away, my dear brothers and sisters, either in Rajab or Ramadan, 10 years after the Prophet's mission began. Although he had supported the Prophet and protected him from his enemies, he died clinging to the faith of his forefathers. Now Abbas, the Prophet's uncle, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a brother of Abu Talib, he said, how could you be of any service to Abu Talib, the one who supported you and rebuked others for your sake? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, he is in a shallow part of the fire. وَلَوْلَا أَنَا لَكَانَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. And had it not been for me, he would have been in the bottom of the fire. And this hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. And in another hadith found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَهْوَنُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ عَذَابًا أَبُو طَالِبٌ وَهُوَ مُنْتَعِلٌ بِنَعْلَيْنِ يَغْلِي مِنْهُمَا دِمَاغُهُ. Among the inhabitants of the fire, Abu Talib would have the least suffering, and he would be wearing two shoes of fire, which would boil his brain. We seek Allah's protection. My dear brothers and sisters, shortly after the death of Abu Talib, Khadija, the beloved wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, passes away. And as we've mentioned previously, she was one of the greatest women ever to live. And her great status, my dear brothers and sisters, was mainly due to her support, her help, and her comforting of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As he said about her, as we've previously mentioned, she believed in me when no one else did. She accepted Islam when people rejected me. And she helped and comforted me when there was no one else to lend me a helping hand. Once the angel Jibreel, as is found in Sahih al-Bukhari, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, Khadija is coming with a bowl of soup or food or drink for you. When she comes to you, give her greetings of peace from her Lord and from me, and give her the good news of a palace of jewels in the garden, meaning in Jannah, where there will be neither any noise nor tiredness. Now some of the ulama interpreted this reward as a reflection and reward for the calm and tranquil environment that she herself generated for her husband sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now my dear brothers and sisters, this year was called by some عام الحزن, or the year of grief. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never used this term himself. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, once Abu Talib died, the Quraysh became more brazen, more bold, more defiant in their persecution than ever. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The Quraysh did not have the courage to make attacks upon me until Abu Talib died." Now, my dear brothers and sisters, now even common members of Quraysh began to persecute the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had no helper except Allah, yet he continued to call, he continued to invite the people to Islam, and as a result had to put up with the hardship, which now stung more than ever because of the death of Abu Talib, as is mentioned in the hadith. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, later on in the 10th year of prophethood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam married Saudah radiallahu anha, who was a widow. Now, Saudah radiallahu anha, she had migrated with her husband, As-Sakran bin Amr radiallahu anh, and they returned from Al-Habasha, and then he radiallahu anh passed away. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam married her, and also Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would initiate his marriage with Aisha radiallahu anha, but would consummate the marriage later on in Medina after the Hijrah, as is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. And she radiallahu anha was the only virgin that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam married. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was now around 50 years old, and around 10 years of his mission had passed. His uncle Abu Talib, who had protected him, had died. And then his wife Khadija, who had been a great support and source of relief and comfort in his life, she also died. And the persecution of his people intensified. They harassed and persecuted him with all kinds of torment, and he bore it with patience, seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, around this time, went with Zayd bin Haritha out to At-Ta'if, which is around 100 kilometers southeast of Mecca, to call its people to Islam, but they did not respond well. Instead, they insulted him and threw stones at him until his heel started to bleed. Aisha once asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Have you ever encountered a day harder than the Battle of Uhud?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Your tribe," meaning your people, "have troubled me very much, and the worst was Yawm al-Aqaba, the day of al-Aqaba." Now, the day of Al-Aqaba is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam presented himself to the three leaders of At-Ta'if, and they were the three sons of Amr bin Umayr, and they did not respond well to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the report found in Bukhari and Muslim, narrated by Aisha, which we mentioned, "I departed overwhelmed with excessive sorrow, and I could not relax until I found myself at a tree where I lifted my head towards the sky to see a cloud shading me. I looked up and saw Jibril in it. He called me saying, 'Allah has heard your people saying to you and how they replied, and Allah has sent the angel of the mountains to you that you may order him to do whatever you wish to these people.' The angel of the mountains greeted me and he said, 'O Muhammad, order what you wish, and if you like, I will let the mountains fall on them.' The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 'Bal arju أن يخرج الله من أصلابهم من يعبد الله وحده لا يشرك به شيئا. No, rather I hope that Allah will bring from their descendants offspring or people who will worship Allah alone without associating partners with him.'" This hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. And as we're going to see later on in the seerah, Ta'if becomes Muslim, and today Ta'if is one of the largest cities in Saudi Arabia and is pretty much all Muslim. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, on the Prophet's return journey to Mecca, he halted at a place called Wadi al-Nakhla, where he stayed for a couple of days. And it was at al-Nakhla that a strange event occurred. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself did not know of it until it was revealed in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was praying the Fajr prayer when a band of jinn heard him reciting the Quran. They listened with great interest, and when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam finished, they returned to their companions and warned them of a great punishment for those who disbelieved in the Prophet's message. Although they did not come in contact with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly, the jinn who had listened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that morning embraced Islam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam only became aware of what had happened when Allah revealed the story in two different surah in the Quran. In Surah Al-Ahqaf, where Allah says,
وإذ صرفنا إليك نفرا من الجن يستمعون القرآن فلما حضروه قالوا أنصتوا فلما قضي ولوا إلى قومهم منذرين.
And mention, O Muhammad, when we directed to you a few of the jinn listening to the Quran, and when they attended it, they said, listen attentively. And when it was concluded, they went back to their people as warners.
قَالُوا يَا قَوْمَنَا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا كِتَابًا أُنزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ وَإِلَى طَرِيقٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ.
They said, O our people, indeed we have heard a recited book revealed after Moses or Musa, confirming what was before it, which guides to the truth and to a straight path.
يا قومنا أجيبوا داعي الله وآمنوا به يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويجركم من عذاب أليم.
O our people, respond to the caller, meaning the messenger of Allah, and believe in him. He, meaning Allah, will forgive for you your sins and protect you from a painful punishment.
وَمَنْ لَا يُجِبْ دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُعْجِزٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءُ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ.
But he who does not respond to the caller of Allah will not cause failure to him upon earth, and he will not have besides him any protectors. Those are in manifest error. Allah also says in Surah Al-Jinn, Ayah 1 and 2,
قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا.
Say, O Muhammad, it has been revealed to me that a group of the jinn listened and said, indeed, we have heard an amazing Quran, meaning the recitation.
يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا.
It guides to the right course, and we have believed in it, and we will never associate with our Lord anyone. A few days later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Al-Nakhla and headed back towards Mecca, and he re-entered Mecca under the protection of Al-Mut'im bin Adi, and he continued his da'wah, continued his mission sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, the Meccan pagans of Quraysh had been shown many signs that confirmed the truthfulness of the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they ignored them all. Although they were not prepared to accept any future signs, they demanded that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam show them clear proofs from Allah that he was indeed a messenger. But their intention, my dear brothers and sisters, was simply to try and humiliate him before the people. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, the greatest miracle that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given was that of the Quran. But he was also given other miracles, such as the splitting of the moon, as is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed to Allah and asked him to show the Quraysh a sign, a miracle. Finally, Allah gave the Quraysh clear evidence, and that was the moon splitting in half, which the Quraysh all witnessed. And this incident, my dear brothers and sisters, is found in the hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, found in both Bukhari and Muslim, where Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, he said, "In shakkal qamar wa nahnu ma'a an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa sara firqataini fa qala lana ishhadu ishhadu." The moon was split when we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it became two separate pieces. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to us, "Bear witness, bear witness." In another narration, he said, "A piece was behind the mountain, and another piece was below it." At first, my dear brothers and sisters, the pagans could not believe what they saw. The moon had been split into two before their very eyes. After the initial shock, however, they determined that it was nothing but sorcery, saying, "Maybe he," meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "has put a spell on us. So let's wait until some travelers arrive in Mecca and ask them if they also saw it. Now, as soon as some travelers arrived in Mecca, the Meccan pagans asked them if they had seen the strange sight. The travelers confirmed that they too had seen this wondrous sight of the moon being split in half. Now, there was no doubt about what they had witnessed, but the Quraysh stubbornly clutched to their disbelief. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the splitting of the moon in Surah Al-Qamar, ayah 1 and 2, where he says,
اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ.
The hour has come near and the moon has split in two.
وَإِن يَرَوْا آيَةً يُعْرِضُوا وَيَقُولُوا سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ.
And if they see a sign or a miracle, they turn away and say, passing magic.
وَكَذَّبُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ مُسْتَقِرٌ.
And they denied and followed their own desires, but for every matter is a time of settlement. And with this, we will conclude our lesson for today, my dear brothers and sisters. In our next lesson, we will discuss the great journey, the great story of the Isra and Mi'raj, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.